Thank you. So, a good afternoon from my side. My name is James. It is my privilege to be able to serve the church as the pastor and also to be able to share the word with you today. Just going to get myself set up here. I think I'd also like to pray. I think it's also a good idea just to start in prayer. So I just invite you to close your eyes if you would like to bow your head and join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, to you alone be the glory, not to us, but to you, Jesus. Jesus, you came into this world as a suffering servant. And we may call you brother, we may call you Messiah and King. You have already walked down the path of humility that you ask us to also walk down. As we search the scriptures, as we unpack them and consider them, I just pray, Father, would you teach us to walk down that path? Would you teach us to follow you and be obedient to your commands? To your name alone, Jesus, because it is lifted high above every other name. Amen. So, just as way of a very quick recap, we are this summer going through a summer series on the book of Proverbs. And we have a selection of six different proverbs that we are looking at. We're halfway through it. And I will remind you of a challenge that I set at the very beginning of this series, which is, we don't have the time, 31 sessions, to go through every chapter, but my challenge for you was, hey, there are 31 days in a month, why not spend one day, every day of the month, reading a proverb? I want to remind you of that. I'm hoping that there are at least a few hardcore who are actually going through that challenge. If it's not too late to begin it, you may do that. We only have the time to go through a few, but there is so much wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And so I encourage you to dive in. Today we're going to be looking at Proverbs 19, just two verses, Proverbs 19, verses 20 to 21. Proverbs 19, verses 20 to 21. In the NIV, listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. This is the word of the Lord. So we have seen then in this series that the purpose of Proverbs is to get practical life wisdom. That's the purpose. Practical life wisdom. The theme of the whole book of Proverbs can be found in Proverbs 1 verse 7, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." If the book of Proverbs was to like some kind of bag of coffee, and you could grind it down and distill it into one sentence, it would be, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." That is the start of getting wisdom. Last week, we looked at some of the benefits of fearing God. Some of the benefits of trusting in Him and not our own understanding, which are, He will direct your paths. He will clear away the obstacles from you. He will bring physical and spiritual blessing and health. Today, what we want to look at are two more insights into becoming a wise person. That's the title for the sermon, Becoming a Wise Person. And I want to look at two insights into how we can do that. So the structure of it would be, the first insight is to be teachable. Then I want to take a quick look at the promise of the first verse, which is to get a heart of wisdom. And then the second governing principle for us, the second insight into being a wise person, is to commit plans to God. So let's go through it. Let's start with the first one, which says this, if we go on to the next part. Proverbs 19, verse 20, the first part says, "Listen to advice and accept discipline." That is the NIV. In the ESV, the English Standard Version, it's almost the same, but it says, "Listen to advice and accept instruction." Let's camp out there. What is meant by that? What is meant by that word? That Hebrew word, musar. It is a word that is full of verbal exhortation. It is very often a word that is used within a parenting context. The idea of fatherly correction that would shape a child's development. And so we can see another instance of this word for us in Proverbs 3, verses 11 to 12, where the same Hebrew word is used. Proverbs 3, 11 to 12 says this, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in." If parents love their children, they discipline them. The purpose of the discipline is not to mechanically ensure that some punishment is given out or they can stop getting on our nerves. The purpose of discipline is to restore the relationship. It's to set us back on that path. It would be very unloving for the Lord not to discipline us. If we find ourselves on a path that is going astray, if you find yourself on a path that is in the Reaper Barn, in a strip club, 4 o'clock in the morning, or in some kind of office affair, it is loving for the Lord to give advice, correction, rebuke. Because the path to going down there is very easy. It just takes one little detour, and then another little detour, then another one, and pretty soon the path is pretty slippery. So we need correction, discipline to get back on that path. The thing is, about that, I don't know about you. If you're a parent, I have rarely heard my children turn around to me immediately after I disciplined them and sincerely thanked me for the honor of correcting them with their heads bowed low. And the truth is, I could also say the same for myself. In that moment, when a friend, a leader, has gently, lovingly spoken a word of instruction, a word that gets to the heart of something that needs to be said, how do I react? How do you react? Consider that first reaction, if that has ever happened to you. Someone is gently, lovingly giving you a word of instruction. Listen to your teeth start to grind. Check your heart rate. Watch the flesh squeal out as your pride is triggered and you get on the defensive. Immediately. So what do we do? What do we do? The proverb says we accept it. The proverb says we listen to advice and accept instruction or discipline. And the word accept does not mean accept like those pizza menus or supermarket brochures that are put through your letterbox soon to be thrown away. You don't accept it like that. Accept means you outwardly hear it, you inwardly digest it. And later, after prayer and thought, you begin to apply it and see, how may I apply this word of instruction into my life? That is wisdom. Brothers and sisters, that is wisdom. And a person who listens to that advice and accepts that discipline is a teachable person. They are open and ready to be taught. The proverb is instructing you and me, be teachable. That's what it's saying. Be teachable. Now, I want to give us an example of teachability. It's from an American pastor called Gordon MacDonald, and he gives a story which I really like. He shares a story when he was a university student, and he went to a seminary to give a talk to some students and some faculty at the university. And typical for him, and maybe typical for some of us, he waited until the deadline got really close, kind of procrastinated and postponed it, and then had to skip 2 days of class in order to complete the assignment. But he nailed it. You know, the talk went great. But as he was leaving the hall, one of the professors whose classes he had missed to complete the assignment comes up to him and he says to him, "Gordon, That was a good talk. That was a good talk. But it lacked the possibility of greatness. Would you like to know why? Gordon, hardly in a position to say no, says, "Yes, sir, please tell me why." And he said this. The professor said, "You sacrificed your responsibilities to get it done. If you make that a habit, your ministry will suffer." That is a good word of instruction. That is a corrective discipline. And to Gordon's credit, he accepted it. He accepted it. And that meant changing some of his work ethic. And he reaped the fruit of it for many years to come. He was teachable. Even in the business world, we see it. I saw it. I was reading something a few days ago, which was talking about the president of a very large energy company, a guy called James Rogers. And what he began to conduct in his business was these mammoth 3-hour listening sessions where he would ask his employees to grade his leadership performance on a grade of A to F. And then he would implement the feedback. And I was wondering to myself, am I so bold? Am I so open and teachable to do something like that? The Bible itself repeatedly prizes this trait of teachability. I don't know about you, if you've ever wondered to yourself or thought to yourself, what was it about the disciples that made Jesus choose them? What was it? There are no verses. There's no word that says, well, John was a kind fellow, and so Jesus chose him because of, etc., his kindness. There's nothing like that. But if we look closer, we get a clue as to one of the reasons, I think, why Jesus chose his disciples. We can look at the calling of Simon. If you remember the calling of Simon, Jesus gets into Simon's boat, and he asks Simon to put it out a little bit. And then he sits down in the boat and he teaches the people on the shore. Then he says what to Simon? He says to Simon, well, actually I quoted it. In Luke 5, he says this. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." I want to just pause for a moment and think about that. Simon, no doubt, is a seasoned fisherman. He has spent his life fishing. This is a family trade, probably. Passed down from generation to generation. This guy knows the best places to fish. It would be completely logical and human wisdom to say to Jesus, "I'm sorry, sir. We found nothing in this area. Why don't we go a few miles down the coast? We might find something there." But he doesn't. He doesn't. He listens to the advice. He accepts the word of instruction. And he puts out the net. And he sees a miracle. He had a humble spirit. The Bible tells us, Isaiah 57, God dwells in a high and holy place and those who have a humble spirit. He was teachable. He was open. Let us be the same. So let's go on to the next point. And I want to say briefly something for our next verse. So the next point is a heart of wisdom. I want to look at the promise. If we can just go back a little bit. We don't know that just yet. So let me read it again. Listen to advice and accept discipline. And at the end, you will be counted among the wise. I want to give us a big picture. Just stay with me for one moment. And let me give you a big picture kind of impression of this. Something that we might find infuriating about the Bible is that it does not give us a precise set of instructions on what to do on the catalog of different situations that you will find yourself in, that I will find myself in. I want something mechanical, formulaic, behavioral. Every time I drift towards that, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Just tell me what to do. But the Bible is not quite like that. Tell me what to do when I have to make a decision about what school to send my child to. Or if you have a young child, what to do when it starts screaming. But there is no verse. There is no verse that says, when thou child starteth to scream, thou shalt take him and, yeah, what? There is none. There's nothing like that. And so that can be infuriating because we want to know exactly what to do, exactly the things to do. In the Bible, instead of actually giving this set of instructions, it says, at the end, you will be counted wise. Why is it at the end? Because little by little by little, you are to gain a heart of wisdom. Not, give me the top 10 wisdom tips that I need to know, and then I'll just memorize them and just learn them and do my own thing. It doesn't say that. We would love to have that, right? I'd love to have those top 10 wisdom tips, but I don't have them. The Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's what it's going after. Another way of saying this, another way of making this point for us is this. We as Christians should pay careful attention to the images that the God of the universe who made the world gives us to show us something. So, for example, I am always going on about trees because the Bible, time and time again, talks about trees to teach us something. When we think about our lives, the images that the Bible gives us is one of walking down a path. It's one of running a race. It's one of a journey. But I would say we prefer to think of our lives as a series of events, as a series of kind of small photo album type things. We kind of summarize our lives, that a decade of life, into the main highlights and the main disappointments. The wedding day is clearly there. The first job, or losing a job, a long illness, the exam results. But the point is, and the point I'm trying to make, how you and I got to those big events, how you made the decision to get there, is influenced by a small set of daily choices that you make again and again and again. The Proverbs say to you and me, live this way. Let these be the governing principles for how you live your life. And if you are teachable, little by little by little, you will gain a heart of wisdom. At the end of your life, you will look back and you will be counted among the wise. I want us to consider how Jesus grew in wisdom, because I find this mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. The fact that Jesus, you know, God could have. He could have come down as an adult. Right? That would have been a little less humbling, but a little bit more dignified. The prophecies say he's going to come out of nowhere. No one will know. He will just appear as a grown-up adult. But Jesus decided to come down as a baby, experiencing the full human wisdom. He decided that he would sit and listen to the temple priests teach him about things. He would be obedient to his parents. He would grow in obedience by the things he suffered. That is amazing. It's amazing the fact that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. In Luke 2:52, as a young boy, learning, no doubt by his father, learning the family trade, asking his father, how do you do this? His father teaching him, showing him how to do it. And little by little, he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The wisdom of God humbled himself and emptied himself to that point that he would grow in wisdom. This is the Savior that we follow. So let us look at our second insight for us today, which is commit plans to God. Let me read it for us again. Verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So our second insight is to commit our plans to God. But I want to first make it clear to us what the proverb is not saying. And I'm going to stay there for a little bit. This is what the proverb is not saying. Sit back, relax, Because God's going to do whatever he's going to do anyway. You just kind of have to let him do it, right? We looked a few weeks ago at a word that the Proverbs loves. It's the word prudence. A prudent person is a man with a plan. A prudent person is a person who has some kind of strategy for living. They're not drifting and reacting. I made the point a few weeks ago, husbands, sit down with your wives and together plan out, think out, how do we want our family to look like in 15, 20 years' time? What are our values? What's our vision? Look ahead. Prepare now for what is to come. That's a wise builder, right? A wise builder doesn't just wing it. You know what? Let's just figure it out as we go along every day. A wise builder sets a firm foundation for when the storms come. And you know what? Time and again, we see that principle. Like, I am a massive fan of nature, so I'm always looking at trees and animals and stuff like that. You see that in nature, right? The tree, for example. Something I really think is really cool about trees. I'm kind of deviate for one second, but something is really cool about trees. If you notice, if it gets to winter time, most of the trees leave their leaves drop down, but not all of them. Some of them have not learnt yet that they can drop their leaf, and they drop their leaves to conserve water and energy for the winter months. And you see that in nature. You see squirrels, woodpeckers, mice storing all of this food for those cold winter months ahead. One of my favorite proverbs, one of my kids' favorite proverbs, is "Go to the ant, you sluggard." Proverbs 6. Why go to the ant? Because ants prepare. Proverbs 6 verse 8. Ants labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. So, we can make plans. We can make plans. But the point is this. We don't live in the plans. You don't hold on so tight to that plan. Living in it. We acknowledge plans can shift. Plans can change. Think about some of the weird and wonderful ideas that you have had in your life, at various points in your life. There was one thing, actually I don't think I've told too many people this, I was thinking about this in preparing this. A plan that I had for some years, that me and my wife actually had, a dream that we had, was to own our own secondhand bookshop. That was our plan. That is a dream. For a guy who likes books, to be surrounded by books, man, that's a plan. My wife came in with a cafe idea to it as well. That's cool. Get some people in there as well. So I would be kind of serving the coffee surrounded by books. But this was a real plan. I had a basement full of books. I started going for it. If I held on tight to that plan, do you know what happens to it? It becomes an expectation. Then it must happen. And a lot of Christians have some resentment and bitterness because they were so sure this had to happen. It had to happen. And they couldn't let it go. Truth is, I kind of happily let go of my alternative book-selling lifestyle. That was not God's plan, at least not yet. Who knows? But maybe. But I didn't live in it because I was able to let it go. I wanted God's plan first. And that's the danger. Our plans to prosper us. You see, unlike the nature world, unlike those squirrels who are storing food for the winter, humans, we like to store up stuff, not just for the winter, for the next 20 winters. To hoard it up, to insurance, have some insurance. I'm good. I don't really want to give the things to God because he's a little unpredictable. He might make me let go of it, and I don't want that. I want to keep it. There is a parable that Jesus gives us about this very thing. The parable of the rich fool. If you remember the parable, Jesus says that this guy, this rich guy, had made a lot of money. He had made like a massive crop of grain. And so he decided, I'm going to build a massive barn to keep all of my grain in, and then I can sit back, I can relax and enjoy the good life. God shows up that very same night, and he says, what? You fool. Your life will be taken from you this very night, and then what will happen to all these things that you have prepared for yourself? He was a fool because he did not commit it to the Lord. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to write his own script. The Bible tells us this, you are only in safe hands if, Proverbs 16 verse 3 tells us, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. You will not hold on to them tightly because it's not about you. It's not about you having to get your way. Trust the Lord's plans for you are good. He has plans to give you hope and a future far better than any plan that you and I could ever dream up. Now, because God's plans will ultimately be established, a wise person clearly wants to be walking step by step with what God wants for their life. He or she wants God's purpose to prevail. But sometimes what we can do as Christians is trip ourselves up, wondering, worrying, thinking, is this God's plan? Am I in God's purpose for my life right now? And if that is you, and I'm sure there are a few of us stuck in this wheel again and again, here's something that might help. Here's where I would go with this. If I have a headache, what I do is I take a paracetamol. For some people, that would be some kind of carnal sin, but I think it's totally fine to take a paracetamol if you have a headache. But if I have a headache for like a year, then it's a little different. Then there's something root. There's some root, deep cause for that. When it comes to making plans, make sure the root, the foundation is solid. Make sure that is firm, first of all. So I would ask myself and you these questions. Am I praising God no matter what? Am I thanking him no matter what? Am I praying all the time? Because that, at least, is God's will for you. I know that much. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18 tells us that. Rejoice always. Pray continually, not whenever you feel like it. Give thanks in all circumstances, not only when you have to. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Second question that I would ask myself and ask you, do I deal with people fairly? Do I love others? And do I not take myself too seriously? Because I know that is also how God wants us to live. Micah 6 verse 8 tells us that. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Here's the point. If you follow God's prescribed will for you, as written in his word, you will grow in godliness and you will grow in increasing sensitivity to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He will be your inner compass, helping you make those plans. You will be able to intuitively know how to deal with the situation, how to handle with the situation, because you've walked with the Lord. You know his voice in your life. A wise person is someone who is teachable. A wise person is someone who commits their plans to God. Ultimately, they say, you are God, I am not. And I've mentioned that a few times. And we don't get off that. We don't get off that channel. Like the remote control is stuck on the humility channel. And it will be on that channel. And you'll need to learn to walk that path time and time again. But thankfully, Christian, we have a Lord and Savior who has walked that path. And he walked it like perfectly, like no one else will ever do or will do. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus humbled himself by taking on human form to the extent that he would grow in wisdom. He committed his plans to the Lord even when he realized the full immensity of those plans in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he realized he would be separated from his Father, that those plans would lead him to the cross for your sake, for my sake. But he still committed those plans to the Lord. He only ever did what he saw his Father doing. This is a Savior worth following. Let me ask you to close your eyes as we reflect about this. As we reflect upon these truths, that we are called to be teachable, and we are called to commit all of our plans to God. Let me just pray for us as we think about these things. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have not left us alone, trying to scratch our heads and figure out how to live in this life which is a journey, which is walking down a path. Thank you, Jesus, the wisdom of God, that you have instructed us to be teachable, to accept instruction, to take it on. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, and I pray for myself, for a heart that is broken and contrite and is humble and willing to do that. I pray that we would trust in you, not being so secure in our own plans, hoarding them up, unwilling to let them go, but we would trust in you and just simply commit every plan into your hands, because you have good plans for us. Would you reveal, Father, would you please reveal where there are plans that are our own plans and not yours? Would you please reveal those? Thank you, Father, that you do this corrective, restoring work in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus, that you have gone before us and taught us the path of humility. In your name I pray this. Amen.